I am a horticulture specialist at the University of Wyoming. I've been there almost 20 years. Actually, August 10th, it will be 20 years, but who's counting? We're going to take a pictorial trip through the Rocky Mountain region, and my assumption is that most of you have been in at least some of these states. We are going to start in Wyoming and then kind of move clockwise through the region. What I did was I contacted some of my colleagues in other states that I know have done high tunnel work, and I also tried to find some growers in each of the states that were utilizing high tunnels. So we'll kind of zoom through these. There's quite a few slides, but they're all photos. So here we go in Wyoming. Wyoming is another state that most people go through to get someplace else. Stop and visit. It's awesome. Anyway, this is one of our high tunnels. This is over on the Idaho-Wyoming border, and Curtis Hatterley produces some cut flowers, some vegetables in his high tunnel, and then during the winter he does put in some cover crops. He's a very interesting person, and he does have a website. Hatterley Farms, I believe, is the website. We also have a bunch at our R&E centers. University of Wyoming has 4 R&E centers, the one at Laramie, and then we have 3 others spaced around the state. And there was a period of time, 5-10 years ago, when there was a huge push to put up high tunnels in Wyoming. One of our educators, Jeff Edwards, had some specialty crop block grant money from the State Department of Ag, and he put up, I think there's 90 or 100 of them now, at least in Wyoming, and this is one of them. Many of them are this style that roll up from about 3 feet up rather than from ground level up, and there are advantages to those which we can discuss later. Mine are not like that. These are on the Sheridan College campus. These are student use, and these are the PVC, bent PVC with the, you know, very simple, inexpensive structures. That's what the bulk of the ones in Wyoming are. This is one of mine. I have 2. They're fairly small. They're 12 by 16. They're more of a hobby size. But mine are 1.5-inch galvanized steel. They were purchased with specialty crop block grant money. And I have 2 of them, and I put them perpendicular to one another. and welcome to Wyoming. Yeah. And I can't even get to them in the winter, so this is on our campus in Laramie. The reason we did that was to see if there's any difference in crop growth and production depending on which way the tunnels are oriented. I'm a greenhouse person, and so everything I do I don't do field work. So everything I do has a greenhouse component and then also the high tunnels. And so right now these 2 are full of cut flowers as well as my greenhouse. The only thing I'll say about this is the one on the left is north-south, and that's the one I prefer because the wind goes right through it. It's awesome. And crop production, the numbers don't bear that out, but it's very good in that one. It's very good in the other one as well. But the wind has a tendency to hit the one on the right from the west, which is behind it. And if you look carefully, you may see it kind of listing this way. It's because it's always getting whammed with our wind. Our winds rival those in the North Pacific Northwest. This is inside. I use containers. We don't have soil. We have rocks, and so I grow everything in containers. Also in Wyoming, we had, this is on our student farm, one of the PVC. This is on, this is strawberries. This project is another specialty crop one, and those are pretty much done at this point, but we do grow strawberries. So far we got cut flowers and strawberries, and Curtis's vegetables. And this is, she is the mother of one of our graduates in horticulture from UW, and I sent out a message, some of you may have seen it on the High Tunnel Listserv national one, and she responded, and this is one of the NRCS ones. There are a bunch of NRCS-built high tunnels in Wyoming as well. Hers is brand new. She just put it up in May. And that's all vegetables. Mark and Brian, is Brian here? I see Mark, yep. These 2 guys, this is their project, so if you have questions about what Colorado State University has done, Mark and Brian are the 2 to talk to, and this was a pruning study on tomatoes, and I think Brian got a master's degree out of that one, huh? Yeah, sweet. And then I believe, Mark, these are some of yours as well, out on the Hort Farm. I'm a Colorado State University grad, so I know the place pretty well. So there's some vegetable production there. This is off campus, several miles. It's not on campus. And then this one was a project that I think you did with Del. Is this the one with Del Jimenez, which I'll show you in a minute, and another vegetable project. And you also, if I remember correctly, I saw some information about some work you did in high tunnels on one of the reservations in southwest Colorado. Yeah, okay. Sounds good. So the Native American influence is there as well. And Del, I don't believe he comes to ASHS, but Del Jimenez has been instrumental in design and construction of high tunnels all over New Mexico, and many of ours in Wyoming are based on his designs. They're relatively small, inexpensive structures you can put up in a day. And so this is, Del has just been, and he was more than gracious in sending me photos of some of his stuff. So he's a really good resource. But, and some of these are others that he has put together. You'll see the roll-up sides there. But he always has the roll-up from about 3 feet up. Mine roll-up from the ground, which I tend to like. I have not grown in one of these, but I do like mine. The only problem with mine is the critters get in. So there's another one of Del's. So we've made our way south to New Mexico from Wyoming, Colorado through New Mexico. So those are three states that are using high tunnels heavily. This is a larger one. Most of the ones that Del has put up and mine are relatively small, more of a small grower hobby type, but it's amazing how much stuff you can grow in a 12 by 16 high tunnel. We are getting cut flower production like you would not believe. And we've also grown herbs and vegetables in ours. Arizona, I didn't find a whole lot, and I do have some contacts down there, but I didn't really get any information back. The climate in Arizona, my guess is that, just an educated guess, is it would be more for night temperature management. There's not a lot of rain other than northern Arizona, which is a whole different planet. But the southern part of Arizona, if you've ever been there, is, you know, it's just a desert. And so they do have a ton of greenhouses down there. I didn't find a whole lot on high tunnels. So I know they're there, and I did find this one, too. This was a vineyard down there that's utilizing them, probably more for protection from wind, et cetera, than anything else. And, Carol, I did want to say, too, I did have a larger tunnel at one time. It was 20 by 60 or something like that. But we had it, and it had the woven fabric, which is another whole nother discussion, and it just shredded in our wind, and then a tornado took it out, and so I just got rid of the whole thing. So anyway, and then Brent and Dan at Utah have also done a lot of work. In fact, I sat next to one of their students, Megan. She was not able to stay for this talk, but these cut flowers were her project, and she's actually from Green River, Wyoming. And so they've done a lot of cut flower work, a lot of strawberry work. These are some of their strawberries, snaps, just all sorts of fun things. So I was really excited to see that they're doing cut flowers there. That's very near and dear to my heart. I'm an old cut flower grower. And then, of course, the usual cool crops such as lettuce, et cetera, some warmer crops, the cucurbits and tomatoes, and then some other, just some addition. This was actually raspberries. They were doing a comparison of field versus the high tunnels. And the typical, and I've done some of this type of work too with the row covers, which is a whole nother discussion, which we probably should have one of these days. And then my friend Stephen Love at the University of Idaho sent us this. They had a Western Stair grant to work on different designs for high tunnels. And this is their aerodynamic tunnel. I thought that was pretty cool. He was pretty proud of it. The students built it, and it's got the, you can kind of see, I'll show you an outdoor photo of it in a minute, but it's pointed into the wind. So there you go. The latest in high tunnel construction. And that's what it looks like from the other side. But this was completely student built, and so that's pretty cool. And then Montana, they have a bunch of tunnels on the campus at Montana State. They have a real nice farm. They have several moving and several stationary tunnels. I never did try a I never did try one of those. I wasn't convinced it would stay put. But mine is inch and a half galvanized steel with double layer polycarbonate on the ends, which really lends some stability. And I won't have another high tunnel that doesn't have solid ends. They're well worth the extra money. And I also have mine covered with double poly, but they are not air inflated. I don't have electricity out there. So they are not inflated. And even with our high winds, I'm on the fourth season now. I haven't recovered in 4 years. So they can last if you do it right. But this is one of Montana State's, and this is actually a movable one. And they do have some NRCS projects going on up there as well. So this is just some photos of that. And I did also check around to see about websites. And there is a little bit of information. The Controlled Environment Ag Center at the University of Arizona is just tremendous. If you've ever been there, it's awesome. In fact, the year you mentioned the colloquium we did way back in 2000 and whenever that was, 8. I happened to be in your shoes that year. I was chair of CHECS the year we put that colloquium on. And one of the tours we did was to the CEAC, and that was just tremendous. So anyway, they're a great resource for greenhouse, controlled environment, and high tunnel information. CSU has some. Idaho, Montana, we have a publication on high tunnel. You have a high tunnel, now what do you do with it? So that was our strategy. So I believe we've done with our tour. Did I do it?
We have more than 2 minutes.
Sweet. Great. Questions? Whirlwind, come see us. We have an awesome part of the country. But I'm biased. Mark, are you on?
Oh, I was just going to make one quick comment. Sure. I think it's interesting to know that you went from 3,000 feet to 8,000 feet and more, probably. So there's the elevation.
Yes, the comment there is elevation changes. And elevation in the Rocky Mountain region is everything. Many people talk about topography and this, that, and the other, but in the Rockies, the first question we ask is, what is your elevation? Laramie is 7,200 feet. Colorado State is right at about 5,000, and you kind of go down from there. Where Del Jimenez, he's off campus. He's not on the Las Cruces campus, and I'm not sure what the elevation is where he is. But it does vary tremendously, and it makes a huge difference. So elevation is another thing that we should definitely consider.
A quick question. I saw from the pictures at the ventilation candle at this is on.
Uh-huh. Yeah, from here up. Mm-hmm. You just let it rain. Unless it's cold enough outside, we don't necessarily roll the those sides down. Mine are up all summer long. I never roll them down. My cutoff is 40 degrees. If the night temperature is 40, then we drop them. But during the summer, it rarely is. But for the ones that open from about here up, the rain just comes in.
But it doesn't rain there.
We don't.
We don't know what rain means.
Good point, yeah.
On that topic, our biggest issue with our growers in Utah
is they over-irrigate. They're used to watering when there's a huge vapor pressure deficit. And yep. You put them in a tunnel, and they just think, I need to water.
I got
to
water.
And they soak everything.
Yep.
It takes a big adjustment for people to learn how not to water their plants in a humid environment where they've never seen before. And we always have insects, but you move it inside a tunnel and we have disease issues that we've never seen.
Yet. Right, and the pest pressure is different. It's, you're right, but you're right about that. In Wyoming, we get maybe 12 to 14 inches of precipitation a year, most of which is in the form of snow. We don't get that much rain, so, yeah. Yeah, that would be nice. Yeah. Right, exactly. Yeah, the comment there is just keep the sides open and let it rain. Yeah.
This is probably a question for the Colorado guys. What is the benefit of those knee walls, the side ridges, side walls that it seems like you guys are using more than
our campus at least we're not using as many, but it kind of decreases if the side walls are vertical. Gives another structure to put the BC on top of. So there's that advantage if you put it in the concrete, which has its own side effects. But it also allows you to get in there with the rotofiller closer without dealing with the kind of edge effect, like the curve of the BC.
Benefits over like a Gothic that has the plastic downstream.
There's probably pros and cons, but it'd be very similar to what you would get with a Gothic.
Yeah. Yeah, the straight sides I love because you can actually utilize all the way to the edge of the high tunnel. With some of the other structures, it's a little harder because you're bumping your head on everything. And I'm only 5'1", so